1 Kings 2. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. "I'm about to go the way of all the earth," he said. "So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Now you yourself know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two commanders of Israel's armies, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He killed them, shedding their blood in peacetime as if in battle, and with that blood stained the belt around his waist and the sandals on his feet. Deal with him according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead, and let them be among those who eat at your table. They stood by me when I fled from your brother Absalom. And remember, you have with you Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, who called down bitter curses on me the day I went to Manahan. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, 'I will not put you to death by the sword.' But now, do not consider him innocent. You are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do to him. Bring his gray head down to the grave in blood." Then David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. He had reigned 40 years over Israel, 7 years in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David. His rule was firmly established. This is the word of the Lord. Any children who would like to join us for Children's Church, we're going to be right up here.
If you read the bulletin closely week after week, you'll know that on any given Sunday, we have not only the sermon title for this particular Sunday service, but also what will be preached in the following Sunday. And if you looked last week, originally my sermon title was simply Obedience. And when I found out midweek that Gordon was changing his morning sermon title to A Costly Obedience, I was tempted to change mine to A Cost-Effective Obedience, and to see if more people would choose my sermon. But I suppose that market testing sermons may not be the most godly approach to ministry. Now, on this Memorial Day weekend, it's appropriate to remember with gratitude those who have served and are serving or have given their lives in service to defend our country. And as with many, I'm reminded of our heritage. And perhaps you, like me, have been reminded of the words of the Gettysburg Address, which Lincoln delivered at the dedication of the Soldiers' National Cemetery a few months after the Battle of Gettysburg. You know how that speech begins? 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. And we are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave here their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do so. The speech goes on. It's only 2.5 minutes long, but it goes down as perhaps one of the greatest speeches in American history, distilling not only the deepest aspirations of the Declaration of Independence, but also reaching even further to the deepest aspirations of what it means to be human. And yet, even with clarity on these ideals, even though Lincoln was able to distill it in words that ring and are memorable, and students, at least growing up in America, have probably memorized at some point, though there is clarity on those ideals, there is really complexity in the application of those ideals. Because it was on that very battlefield that more than 160,000 American soldiers clashed. The single greatest and bloodiest battle in American history. And there were over 57,000 casualties. Lincoln would long ponder those losses, as with the nation. And these men and women who have served then and who serve in the military, even now, are people who face a complex obedience, who have to make excruciating decisions about life and death, and often have to live with the haunting consequences of those decisions, even decisions that they know were the right ones, the consequences of which they bear. We know this in our political discourse right now. So much energy is going into the debate about the use of drones in war. Is it appropriate? Is it appropriate to use such technology? And so there is tremendous debate. But this is not simply a debate in the political realm. Complexity in knowing what to do is not relegated to the realms of nations. It's a very personal affair as well. I was struck by this when I had to make the decision about what to do with my father's treatment to cancer in the last days of his life. As we as a family gathered together and tried to ponder through and pray through, Lord, what is the right thing to do? We know you can heal, and we know that you can use the means of medicine to heal. But at what point do we just need to let go and enable you in your providence, which we equally know to be true, to usher my father into glory? And it is unclear in that moment of complexity, even with very clear principles to hold on to, a firm belief that it is better that we go to be with the Lord than live. And yet the Lord can heal in this world. Even with the clarity of principles, there is a complexity in its application. And then there are all sorts of moral decisions that we face on a day-to-day basis. How do we make sense of this? How do we take clear principles of Scripture and work them out in the complexities of life? These are decisions that we have on the personal on a professional basis and in our political discourse as well. This is where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life. It is, in fact, what is at the heart of this passage as well. David's charge to Solomon exemplifies both the clarity and the complexity of obedience. It is what marks our walk with Jesus. Now, you all probably come into this service, even as I've been using these examples, perhaps with some issue in your own life, a career choice that you have to make between two things that seem equally good, a moral choice in which two opposing principles are at play and you just don't know how to decide. Or perhaps you've gotten yourself into a situation where you know what the moral choice is, but now you're enmeshed in such a complex array of circumstances and relationships, you just don't know how to extricate yourself. So what does the Lord have to say? Well, what we're going to do this evening is going to require us to think hard and to think honestly. And we might come out on the other side of the sermon with no clear answer, other than the resolve to enter into it, the complexity of life, the ambiguities of life, with a more heartened resolve to submit to God, to trust in His purposes, and to do the hard work of seeking counsel. And if that be the case, then to God be the glory for His good work. Will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do come to you and we recognize that on a daily basis, we are bombarded with choices to make. And frankly, it's so overwhelming that for the most part, we just stop thinking. We just make decisions out of instinct or habit. because it's easier to do. And yet now, for this space of time, in this context of worship, in a spirit of openness, we ask that you, Holy Spirit, would come and be at work in our life, that you would fashion in us a story worth telling of the good news of Jesus, writ not just in the pages of Scripture, but in the pages of our lives, people who are seeking to follow Jesus, to see that his kingdom is done, his will be done in our lives, even as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.